Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Americans, liberty or death, join or die. Don't shoot till you see the whites of their enemies' eyes. Well, those words, striking at the heart of the American Revolution, are also at the core of a new book from Nantucket-based historian Nathaniel Philbrick. Philbrick is an award-winning author of many books, including In the Heart of the Sea, Mayflower, Bunker Hill, and Valiant Ambition. But this is his first children's book. It's called Ben's Revolution, Benjamin Russell and the Battle of Bunker Hill. And in it, Philbrick tells the story of a young Benjamin Russell, a 12-year-old print shop apprentice who witnesses seminal events at the beginning of the Revolutionary War. And Nathaniel Philbrick now joins us from the studios of Nantucket NPR. Welcome to Radio Boston.
It's great to be with you.
It's tremendous to have you. So many people love so many of your books for grown-ups, if I can put it that way. Tell us about what inspired writing Ben's Revolution as a children's book.
Yeah, I was working on my book Bunker Hill, and in that I weave all sorts of different narrative threads. And one of the ones I picked up was this 12-year-old boy named Benjamin Russell, who lived in Boston. His family had been there for years. His father was a good friend of Isaiah Thomas, who was one of the newspaper editors in town. And he and his buddies, on the day of Lexington and Concord, follow the British outside of the city into Roxbury and ultimately Cambridge, and are caught outside of Boston at the beginning of the Revolution with no way to get back for months.
So this actually happened?
This actually happened, and it just struck me to be an amazing real story. And so I began to think, well, at some point it would be really fun to. I had done books, young adult book versions of In the Heart of the Sea and Mayflower, but had never done one for young kids, and had gotten to know the artist Wendell Miner. He had done the covers of my young adult books, and he's just a wonderful artist. Mm-hmm. And so we collaborated on Ben's Revolution.
Yeah. Well, so before we get into more detail about 12-year-old Benjamin, you're right to mention Wendell Miner. So a very gracious tip of the hat to him, because his illustrations for Ben's Revolution are gorgeous. But tell us about the adult Benjamin Russell, because he amongst certain circles, he's pretty well known. He went on to have quite a career.
Yeah, he was, I won't say the Rupert Murdoch of New England journalism, but he was one of the premier journalists at a time when New England journalism was really at the forefront of what was going on in America. And so he, from these this incredible childhood experience, would go on to be one of our foremost journalists.
Yeah, you know what I loved about this book is it does something central that really good children's books do, and that is it opens our eyes and it reminds us that, that every event in human history is witnessed and experienced by many people younger than the age of 40, right? And so there's this particular challenge in terms of trying to get the history in while also trying to get it from the perspective of a child or a tween in this case. How did you do that?
Well, you're absolutely right. But for me, what I loved about Ben's story was the sense of wonder and innocence. He really has no idea what's going on. And in fact, not even the adults knew what was going on. And yet, he was put in scary situations, but he was ultimately actually enjoyed himself. And in the process was one of those making history in Boston in 1775. So it was a really fun project.
Well, you have this great chapter where he ends up sort of mocking British soldiers by doing a little jig while they're playing Yankee Doodle.
Yeah, and this is based on a real incident. The boys were following British reinforcements out to help the British that had been at Lexington and Concord and were now fighting their way back to Boston, and the boys just follow them out of the city. And remember, this is when Boston was an island. It was a 1.1 square mile island with a thin neck of land connecting it to Roxbury, and these boys follow the British soldiers to Roxbury, and it's in Roxbury where the British soldiers start playing Yankee Doodle, which was meant to mock New Englanders. And so a boy started, and it's Ben Russell starts to mock the Englishmen, saying that they will be the ones that will be dancing to a tune on their way back to Boston.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, Nathaniel Philbrick, if you could actually read a passage from the book Ben's Revolution. I loved chapter 5 in particular. Could you read that for us?
Yeah, chapter 5. It's called Boys' Rights, and here it goes. That January, a storm blew in from the north and blanketed Boston in snow. When classes were over at the Queen Street Riding School, Ben and his friends got their wooden sleds to go coasting down the icy streets of Beacon Hill. They started near the mansion owned by the merchant and patriot leader, John Hancock, pushing their sleds across the rutted snow and ice until they seemed to be flying down the hill. Ben was leading the pack as they rushed down School Street when suddenly his sled slowed down. Ben was outraged to discover that ashes had been spread across the snow and ice to make the street less slippery by the British officer who had moved into a nearby house. With several friends at his side, Ben marched up the steps of the British officer's house and rapped on the door. The officer was soon at the doorway. Ben explained that for years this was the boy's favorite coasting place, and now it was ruined. To Ben's surprise, the officer ordered his servant to pour water over the ashes. Soon the water had frozen to ice, and they were coasting once again. Ben had been taught to believe that the soldiers were in Boston to take away his liberties, but this officer had proven to be an understanding man. Later that night, the British officer told General Gage about his encounter with Ben and his friends. The general gave a weary sigh. "No wonder we are having so much trouble with these Bostonians," he said. "Even the children insist on their rights."
That's Nathaniel Philbrick reading a chapter from his new children's book, Ben's Revolution, Benjamin Russell and the Battle of Bunker Hill. I loved the chapter in particular because it does it blends what you were talking about earlier, that innocence in the midst of such tense and historically transformative times. But in the back of the book, you say that this chapter in particular is also based on a letter that a British officer wrote recounting this event?
Yeah, it's a letter written by a resident of Boston to his brother-in-law in Philadelphia. And what this is, an incredible group of letters in which it's almost a journal of what's happening during the occupation of Boston in 1774 and 75. And in it, he recounts how these boys were sledding down Beacon Hill and had this encounter with a British officer. And so this specific incident we don't know if it was Benjamin Russell, but it certainly could have been, and it seemed it was just too good an incident. It had to be included in the story of Benjamin Russell and Bunker Hill.
Yeah. So in this book, we read how, and again, it's sort of for what, 6, 7, 8 year olds?
Yeah, right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah. So we read how young Benjamin Russell is separated from his family for many months. He's in Cambridge, and he's even. He joins a group of young boys who help build a fort. They dig the dirt to build a fort in Cambridge. It just got me wondering, I mean, what more do we know about what children did do, if anything, in assistance to colonial soldiers during the war?
Well, boys were actually a big part of the Revolutionary Army. And in fact, there were some as young as 15 years old serving as soldiers in the Continental Army, if you can believe it. Particularly as the war went on, there were fewer and fewer adults willing to serve. And so there were people of all types and races in serving in the war. But boys were an active part, and particularly at this stage in the Revolution, where the provincial army, it was not yet the Continental Army, was based primarily in Cambridge, and they were occupying the buildings of Harvard College and other buildings, and the boys were doing the menial tasks surrounding, you know, the occupation of Cambridge and the attempt to get the British out of Boston.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking to you is reminding me of a while ago, a long time ago, we had a conversation with M.T. Anderson, and he had written a YA novel about the siege of Stalingrad, so another book for young people about a different war. I mean, obviously for an older group of readers. But you know, he and I had talked about how you got to pick the right kind of details for the age group that you're writing for, because, you know, wars are bloody, horrible things full of death and suffering as well. Now, granted, he was writing for older kids, so he could go into quite a bit of detail in his book about the siege of Stalingrad. But the Revolutionary War was full of obviously death and suffering and starvation, which you sort of hint at a little bit here. I mean, how did you handle that for your, you know, 7 and 8 year old audience?
Right. Well, it was a real difficult line. I you know, this is about a battle.
Yeah.
As you said, it's as horrific an experience as anyone can witness. And I, you know, but this was for a young audience. You don't want to freak the kids out. And yet, I also didn't want to pull so many punches that it sanitized the conflict. And so what I did was, they were observers. They were very much focused on Israel Putnam,
mm-hmm.
the sort of jocular general from Connecticut who they were serving under as clerks, helping to feed the soldiers. And so they were focusing on him and you know, cheering him on in the midst of the battle. But so that when I am describing Benjamin watching the battle, I do mention that, you know, they're watching British soldiers get mowed down as they charge not once but three times toward the American redoubt, and the feelings he was experiencing, because he had that officer who had helped him when he was sledding. You know, he doesn't want one of those dead soldiers to be that officer. And so trying to get at the ambivalence of people experiencing this war, because, you know, we think of it as good versus evil, but it was something more than that. These were people who's coming from all different points of view, and so I was trying to do it in a way that the kids got a sense of the conflict, of how scary and disruptive and terrifying it was, but in a way that they could get through the book and you know, not be curled up and seeking counseling.
You know, there, towards the end of the book, we sort of very quickly go through that 4 month period where he was separated from his family, and he does get reunited, but young Benjamin Russell does. And the last couple of seconds that we have, Nathaniel Filbert, can I make a pitch to you?
Sure.
Because I was thinking that in that 4 month period that isn't really explored in detail in this book for young readers, that you have the potential for your next YA book, because I would love to hear more and read more about what happened to Benjamin Russell in those 4 months when he was, you know, essentially working for Israel Putnam in Cambridge and doing his part in the revolution.
Wow. Well, you know, Johnny Tremaine was a big influence in my upbringing,
yeah.
And that has all sorts. That's very interesting. Well, thank you.
Well, that's Nathaniel Philbrick, very graciously listening to my pitch. That's a pretty gutsy thing for me to do, to make a pitch to an award-winning author like that. But he is the award-winning author of many books, including In the Heart of the Sea, Mayflower, Bunker Hill, and Valiant Ambition. And we have been talking about his new children's book, which is Ben's Revolution, Benjamin Russell and the Battle of Bunker Hill. Nathaniel Philbrick, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, great to talk to you.